Psalm 40, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He's given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who trust in the Lord, who have confidence in the proud, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. Oh, Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. Now that you've made me listen, I finally understand. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. And then I said, look, Lord, I've come. As it is written about me in the scriptures, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. I've told all your people about your justice. I've not been afraid to speak out, as you, O Lord, well know. I've not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I've talked about your faithfulness and your saving power. I've told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Lord, don't hold back your tender mercies from me. Let your unfailing love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles surround me, too many to count. My sins pile up so high I can't see my way out. They outnumber the hairs on my head. I've lost all courage. Please, Lord, rescue me. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. May those who try to destroy me be humiliated and put to shame. May those who take delight in my trouble be turned back in disgrace. Let them be horrified by their shame, for they say, aha, we've got him now. But may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, the Lord is great. As for me, since I am poor and needy, let the Lord keep me in his thoughts. You are my helper and my savior. Oh my God, do not delay. Amen. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here this morning, as I have been feeling, great term, grotty, this last week. So it's good to be here this morning. Just to emphasize as well, having been for the first time myself, and I took Joel with me to Hillsong Conference last year, if you only ever do get one chance to go, it is worth going to. I will never forget that in the first 5 minutes of the conference opening, I turned to Joel and just went, wow, I wasn't expecting that. And I'm like, yes. And he was even sharing his testimony on Friday night about what God had done through him and in him on that conference and since then, which is awesome. And wouldn't it be great as well, actually, I think this could be a new way of church growth, that if we attend, we were as old as the church we were attending, so imagine that we could all say we were 40 because we're in a church that's 40. Church planting would actually just spread like wildfire because we'd all want to feel a lot younger in a new church. But anyway, so this morning we're finishing off this series just looking at some of the favorite psalms. And we're looking at Psalm 40 this morning. So these songs for all seasons. And this one is entitled Sing When You're Sinking. Which is a strange thing to kind of a concept to think about. When you're sinking, am I going to be singing? But I just want to start off by just focusing at the moment just on the film The King's Speech. Many of you have probably seen this. It was a great film, and it's the story of King George VI in his impromptu ascension to the throne of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. I got it wrong this morning, and a Scotsman came up to me and told me off because I said the King of England, so Great Britain and Northern Ireland and the Commonwealth. And if I've got that wrong, come and tell me afterwards. But his issue was this. He had his own personal battle, and he's coming to the throne at the moment when Britain is about to go to war with Germany. So he's got two big battles that he's facing in his life, and his own personal battle is that he was struggling with a stammer, which when you're the king and you've got to address the nation is a massive issue, because people will be turning to you in their time of need, wanting to be uplifted and brought to that place of courage through the words that you speak. And if you're stammering, oh no, it's happening to me now. And so what we see in the film is he goes to see Lionel Logue, an Australian speech and language therapist who helps the unsure monarch become worthy of facing this individual battle and overcoming that difficulty of the speech impediment so that he can, with courage and confidence, address the nation. So it made me think that even kings are facing personal difficulties in the midst of their role and the responsibility, just like any one of us. They are only human, after all, to quote a song that came out last year. And so what we're seeing this morning in Psalm 40 is a king's speech by King David, who is accredited as the subject of the psalm and as of many other psalms, but not only just as its author, but as also the one who's actually saying, these are the difficulties I'm facing, and this is what I'm doing about them. You see, sometimes any one of us, like David, who are trying to live a life that is after God's own heart, find ourselves stuck in some pretty slimy, dark places where it feels like our feet are literally in mud. And we just know that we need a force that is greater than us to get us out of that situation. I was speaking to someone just the other week, and we were talking about the being a light at the end of the tunnel. And that actually, in reality, for some of us, we can't even see the light. Because at the moment, because of the situation we're in, the difficulties we're facing, it just feels like darkness surrounds us. And that there isn't even a light at the end of the tunnel. And for many of us, those things might be things like depression or hurt, sickness, anger. As we see with some of our debt center clients, financial trouble, worry, anxiety, or maybe we're facing enemies on every side. And yet what we hear this morning through what Dave's read to us is that David's testimony of God. So why does David praise God when he's in the midst of these difficulties? Well, firstly, what he says is, I wait patiently for the Lord. David waits. He may have enemies on the hills surrounding him. He may be facing his own personal difficulties. But he knows that as he cries out to God, God has heard him. Why does he know that? Well, it's because if you look through David's life, there have been times and situations from when he was a young boy where he's faced difficult situations and he has known the hand of God on his life. Whether it's as a young shepherd boy, he's out in the field with his flocks, and when wild animals and lions come to an attack, and he's had to face them on his own, head on, he's known God's been with him. Then as he gets older, and he goes out to see his brothers, who are facing up against the Philistines, and against this huge guy called Goliath. How many times have I played Goliath in my life? It is ridiculous. I want to play David sometime, please. It is ridiculous. Oh, yeah, you're tall. Oh, yeah, you're Goliath. Yeah, great. But when an entire army is quivering in its boots, this young boy who has seen God save him against a wild lion says, who's this guy that he thinks he's bigger than my God? Who's this guy that he thinks he can take us on? I'm going to go and sort him out. And he does. And he gives glory to God. And now, as he's made king, he still remembers all those times where he's seen God at work in his situations. And he says, the one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to wait for God. That waiting on God is a must for each and every one of us. That we're in no position to demand of God. See, and I think this is critical for us all this morning. Folks, God does not work to our timetable. Look what David did. He waits patiently. He knows he's in a bad place. He knows he's got a difficult situation around him. And he knows every time that he's been in those situations, there's nothing that he can do to get himself out other than turn to the one who can save him. God is responsible for saving David and for saving you and for saving me when we're in those places of destruction, when we're in those pits of despair, when we are in the filth and the mud and the mire. He is the one who lifts us out. He is the one who places us on a firm foundation, who brings about the freedom that we need, the victory that we need in the situation that we're facing, the stability to carry on and walk with him and to know the truth of who God is and what he's doing in our situation, even if we can't see it for ourselves. God has changed David over the years into a man who now knows, even in the midst of the darkness and the despair, that he can sing a new song, that God has given him a new song of worship, a hymn that sings of God's praise, rather than just complaining about the mess that he's in now. And as a nation, are we not one of the greatest on earth at complaining about anything and everything? So the normal reaction for each and every one of us to being rescued by the Lord should be that we give him our praise and our worship. I hold my hand up and say there are times when God has got me out of difficult situations where I have known God's hand on something that I've prayed about and I have failed to praise him. I have failed to give him the worship that is due to his name for what he's done. So when God rescues us from the slimy pits in our lives, he is to be revealed in the praise and the worship that we give back to him. Not just to make us feel better about ourselves, but actually the way that we respond in the situations that we face is actually setting an example for other people around us. Because I don't know about you, but as a Christian, when people in my past have known that I'm a Christian, and whether it's been in the workplaces that I've been in or in my own family situation, when times get hard, how I respond speaks more about me and about my faith in God than anything I then say to those people. Have you ever heard the words, "I thought you were a Christian"? Because of the way you say or do something in a situation, they have this high expectation of you. You might be feeling right down there, but God can lift us up in those times and situations. So the way that we respond and deal with the situations, trusting in God and waiting on him, knowing and trusting that it is God that will bring us out, could actually be one of the greatest testimonies you ever share in your life. And you may never even say a word. You see, following in God and trusting in him is a blessing, as we see in verse 4. And so we're not to miss, as we see in verse 5, any of David's praise to God. So let me just summarize what he says to you. He says, "Many are the wonders you have done. There is no one who compares to you. Even though I want to, I can't name all your deeds." If you were here last Sunday morning or you heard it on the podcast, some of the stuff that Robert was talking about how big this universe of ours is and how many stars there are and how many cells we've got in our body, I'm just sitting there going, okay, I knew God was big, but now my mind's just gone poof. And yet God cares for me and he cares for you and he knows how many hairs are on your head. And I'm a similar position to Robert, that, you know, it's getting easier to count them these days. But the fact that God, who created all this and set the stars in place and knit us together in our mother's womb, is able to lift us up out of those places that we're in. And so in light of all this, David makes a promise to God. He says, I will listen to what God says. He puts it like this, but my ears you have opened. Basically what he's saying is, okay, I'm waiting and I'm listening. God, you've got my attention. I've got all this going on, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on what you can do in this situation. I don't know about you, but that's a massive challenge for me today. That whatever situation I am facing, not to focus on the situation, but on the one who can bring about the solution, on the one who can save me when the enemies or whatever it is are coming and closing in. And this isn't about us being religious, about us thinking, oh, well, if I go to church every Sunday, oh, I attend home group every week, oh, I attend the prayer meeting once in a while, oh, I'll get the Bible app and I'll do my best to read it every day and I'll get a plan out. It's not about that. What God is interested in is about our obedience and our faithfulness to him and who he is. You see, the task of the king, the royal duties that were set out for King David, we're in the Torah, which was the book of law. And you'll find it, this section in Deuteronomy 17 gives a summary of what the king had to do. Okay, so listen to this. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll. So the king has to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. So he's writing it out and he's learning it. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord, his God, and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. So it's not just about completing the task, but there's also a much deeper spiritual dimension. You see, he's got to write this law out for himself when he became king. He's got to carry it with him night and day and read it night and day and learn it every day of his life. But David now takes it a step further because he's heard and he's understood the law, which can be fulfilled as a duty with the wrong sort of attitude. We can just think, okay, it's another thing on my to-do list today. I'm going to read God's law. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to get it done. Tick. I'm okay now. I can carry on. No, it goes much further. David says this, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. So he's not just carrying it round under his arm as a scroll that he reads every day. He's actually taking it a step further and saying, I want to be obedient and faithful in my heart, in my very core of my being. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. I'm not just about being the king of a nation. I'm about being the person who God calls me to be and wants me to be in relationship with him, being obedient and faithful in everything I say and I do to reveal more of God through who I am. He's remembering his promise to God to be faithful. So at the time of his coronation, he would have to have made promises and vows before the people of who he was going to be. And he reveres the faithfulness of God in his life and wants to continue living the right way. And his promise is revealed in how he testifies about the Lord. And he says, this isn't just about me keeping it in my heart and saying, oh, I've got God in my heart. Everything's going to be okay. He's saying, no, I am going to tell everyone about who God is and about what he's done. He feels the sense of duty as king to declare what God has done, but also out of his personal relationship. For him, he finds his joy in telling others about the greatness of God and all that he has done in his life. But what he's also then declaring to the people is this, because people would often look to the king and say, save us. You're the one in charge. It's your problem. And he's going, no, 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 no. It's not me that saves you. It is God who is the one that will save you. He is the one you need to turn to. I'm just like you. I'm just a man. You see, our lives become testimonies to God's love and his grace. Our witness, however, doesn't stop at living lives of obedience and service. Because we see in verse 10 that he states that he will share the good news of his deliverance, God's movement and faithfulness in his life to the great assembly, to the entire court that is at his command, but also to the entire nation. He will say to them, this is our God. This is my God. He shares God's righteous ways with others. He's unable to keep silent because time and again, when he's fallen, when he's got things wrong, when he's come crashing down, when the enemies have been three times, four times the size of him, he has seen God's hand upon his life and seen God deliver his enemies and his problems into his hands. And we're called to do the same, to tell of what God has done for us. In Luke 11, verse 33, it says, no one lights a lamp and puts it in place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. I don't know what you're going through at this moment, what difficulties, what darkness, what pit you may feel you're in at the moment. But what I do know is this, based on what we're looking at this morning, how you speak about God in that situation, how you speak to others in that situation, or even just how you actually hold yourself in that situation, that even if you just sit there and wait patiently for God to do something in that difficult time you're going through at the moment, that will speak volumes to people around you. And you may never know what impact you are having on those until that day when we stand before God. Even in the darkest of times, we can still be a light to those around us who may be going through similar difficulties. David isn't declaring that he's got it all right, but what he is saying is that God's righteousness shouldn't be hidden. He's declaring his intention to live faithfully for God and speak about who God is and what he has done in his life. But if you know anything about David, you know that there are times where he gets it wrong massively, just like any one of us do. Even though he's king, he's still tempted. And that's why it's been great to go through this series in the evening. And if you've not been able to get to it, please do go through the podcast and just hear about how the devil tries to sneak in and tell us lies and say, did God really say this to you? So what does David ask of God? Because of what God has done, David makes a clear plan forward. And his plan is simple. He says, I'm going to plead with the Lord that I need his protection. From my suffering, I need his mercy more and more. From my sins are many. And there's two ways. So it's in the reading at David, it's that they are coming above his head. Or in other versions, it's about they are overtaking me. They are getting ahead of me. And that he needs rescuing. He's admitting that only God can save him. But he's also saying, God, defend me from those who want to kill me. Many want to end his life, and many want his life to be a joke. And I just love in verse 15, And we were just chatting about this before, that it goes, in some versions, it just goes, in this version that Dave read, it goes, aha. But also, it goes, in other versions, it goes, aha, aha. And that makes me think of The Simpsons. And there's a character on The Simpsons, I can't remember what his name is. And he goes, aha. Because there are people in our lives who will often mock us and will often want to go, ah, you know, call yourself a Christian. You're meant to have faith and look at stuff, bad stuff still happens to you. Or maybe this morning as you're sitting there, you're thinking of a 1980s group called Aha. And as we were just saying, we should have actually sung one of the songs, Take On Me, which actually would have fitted with it. I'm not going to start singing it to you, don't worry. But the thing is this. He's crying out to God, only God, you are the only one who can defend me. You are the only one who can rescue me at this time. Therefore, may all who seek you be rescued. And he's crying out that we will we find comfort, joy, love, and peace in you, God? Let our testimony be this morning, whatever it is we're going through, the Lord is great. The Lord God is good because he's the one who can save me. And even though he was king, he had power, he had wealth, he's crying out to God and saying, please, Lord, remember me. I am poor and needy. I have nothing to offer or bring to the table. You are my provider, God. You rescue me. You deliver me. You are my God. Please, Lord, do not withhold or delay your love, your grace, your mercy from me. David remembers what God has done for him in the past when he's picked him up out of those times of darkness and dirt and filth, those deep holes that he's found himself in where there's nowhere else to turn but to God. And he's seen time and time again God's goodness and greatness in his life. And he's asking now for more and more and more of him. And you and I can do the same thing every single day. Because we've got something even greater than David had. We've got the knowledge of what God's rescue plan is for us in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That Jesus came so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That even if our sins are overtaking us, God has nailed those sins on the cross with Jesus Christ. They are dealt with. They are done. They are wiped clean for us today. If we will only accept that Jesus went to the cross for us. Not even death can separate us from God because Jesus rose from the grave. And he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God and to speak to God today for you and for me and for the needs that we have today. And if that isn't something worth celebrating, then I don't know what is. And you're silent. Wow. So if we are coming and worshiping and testifying under his greatness, we need to continue doing so. Because we can say that he has set my feet on a rock that is Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And he has given me a firm place to stand. But here's the problem. Many of us, we stop at the, oh, he's got me out of that trouble. And we leave it there. We don't think that actually the next stage for us is that he has set my feet upon the rock that is Jesus. And so after a while, suddenly, that pit suddenly becomes really tempting again, and we start looking down into it, and then suddenly find ourselves, we're back in the same place that we were before. God not only wants to deliver us from our problems, he also wants to restore you to a place where you can stand firmly in him. When God steps in and rescues you and me, he wants to put us in a place where we are stronger than we were before. Why wouldn't we want to experience more of who God is? Because with God, there is no limit. I love this. So I'm just going to use this as an illustration now. So one of the things of the Hillsong Conference is there more? There is more. Because God's already done it for you and for me through Jesus Christ. that if we find ourselves in that dark pit this morning, the light is that Jesus is everything. And we can praise him. We can call to him. We don't have to get everything right. We might feel we're right in the depth of that pit this morning, but the reality is wherever we are at, we can cry out to God, and Jesus pleads with his Father on our behalf. Because he says, these wounds are for them. Their sins I have dealt with. I have done it all for them. And as I finish, I just want to finish with this. And this, as I came across this verse this week, it just blew me away. In Isaiah 65, verse 24, it says, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Before we even cry out to God, he's already got a rescue plan for you. He's done it through Jesus, and he's wanting to work in your situation. But he stands at the door and he knocks and he waits for you. Will you call to him? Will you let him restore you to where you need to be, to worship him with all that you are and give him all of your praise and reveal who he is to those around you this morning? That as you go into this week, whatever problems you face, you can go knowing it is already job done. Jesus goes before you. He walks with you. He stands behind you. He goes into this week, whatever problems or difficulties or pits you may face, and he is ready to rescue and deliver you so that the next week and when you come back, you can still be singing and praising his name. But you've got to call him. You've got to be the one that says, I'm here. I need you. But that in all things, you can do this because God has already done the work for you. God bless you.
Well, fairly transatlantic, I think. But as the team here have spent time in Psalm 40 during this week and this morning, we somehow wanted to do justice to the whole range of things that David is talking about in that psalm. Because we're very used, aren't we, as Brits, to seeing ourselves down in the pit, down in the mud. And okay, when life is really, really tough, then we reach out to God and say, Lord, remember me. Lord, deliver me because I need you. But there is also another dimension where David is saying, I can remember all the brilliant things you've done for me. I remember that day with Goliath when you came through for me. And there are huge verses in the Bible that talk about courage and talk about overcoming in the name of our Lord Jesus. And we want to live in that dimension, as well as sometimes needing God in the really tough times. Should we just pray for a moment before we worship? Lord, we've been saying this morning that you're the rock. You're the rock on which our lives are built. And you know each one of us this morning as we sit here.